Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm not too shabby, actually. I've had quite a lot of time in the last week or so to actually sink my teeth into some games, so it seems like January actually is, like, settling out the way I thought it was going to, and yeah, lots and lots of time for big stuff, as opposed to just lots and lots of little Hearthstone here and there.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know what? I'm ready to talk about video games because today, this afternoon in general, has been a very frustrating ordeal. So, yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to not having to talk about frustrating ordeals. So if anybody has any frustrating ordeals,
keep it away.
Yeah. This is a frustrating ordeal-free zone. I don't know why I keep saying that. It just feels good to get it off the chest, you know? Air it out.
So on top of your frustrating ordeals, how is Baby Watch or Murphy Baby Watch 2016 going?
Good. You know what would be funny is this will be the show, right? This will be the show that Ashley comes in and says, "Oh my God, we have to go." But she's not even here. So like if I get a phone call, it's like I can't pick that up. I'm in the middle of the show. Like, you gotta text me.
Ryan, please turn your ringer back on.
It's on. It's not on. It's not on.
It should be. Like,
well, then you're going to get all the...
It's Ashley's phone call.
Yeah, no, no, no. It's out of the corner of my eye. I can see it. She's with her parents. There are many capable people that can use cell phones in and around that house.
And oh, man.
They'll be able to do it.
Obviously, I'm not as excited as you are, but I don't think I've ever actually been as excited for my friend having a kid as I am for, like, you having a kid. I don't know why. I'm just like, oh, my God, is it happening? Is it happening?
It's because everybody is interested in seeing how much of a nervous wreck I'm going to be.
That's probably true. I feel like you're going to be really entertaining.
Yeah, and it's not at all, like, me saying you're all bad people. Not entirely. It's really just about... I understand the entertainment value of someone freaking out, and that
you've got that in spades.
Yeah, and it could happen. I'm not going to deny it. It could happen, but really, the beauty now I can't stop looking at my phone. The beauty of it is that Ashley is so calm, cool, and collected about all this, and she's had a baby growing inside her for 9 months, and she is the most calmed person ever. That I'm almost like, you know what? I'm going to lean into it and just I'm fine. It's all good. It's not a big deal. Now, mind you, talk to me when she goes into labor, then we'll see how it goes.
Oh my God, you're going to freak out. It's going to be amazing.
It's not going to be amazing. It's going to be legendary. It's going to be really good.
So what else have you been up to other than constantly thinking you might be running to the hospital?
Besides that, yeah, I forgot to mention this last week, and I feel bad. My brain has been really bad lately. I've been focusing on things that aren't necessarily as important, and then forgetting about things that are super important, like guesting on an awesome new podcast called Hall of Geeks with our good friend Rick Piven and his good friends, I believe Tyler. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm not good with names. It's not you. If you listen to Zombies Ate My Podcast, you know everybody gets a nickname.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hang on. I know. I wrote it down because I'm also terrible with names. Shane. I was like, it's either Shane or Sean. Is it Shane or Sean?
Shane, Michael, Tyler, and Rick do this podcast. I think it's four of them. That equals four, right? Anyways. It's called Hall of Geeks. It's really cool. It's kind of like it's been on the dark side in that you know, you're not going to want to listen to it with the kids because there's the swearing.
And yes, definitely explicit content.
Yeah, but it's really cool, and you can check out the first episode at hallofgeeks.podbean.com, but you could also check out the third episode as well, which also features a certain someone. Not me.
Spoiler alert, it's me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You haven't recorded yet, or you did record.
Yeah, we recorded yesterday, but the episode won't go live until the weekend. So, yeah. Until then, you guys can check out episode one with Ryan. Yes, just do be aware that if you're used to our normal podcast repertoire, it's a lot more explicit than normal. So just keep that in mind when you're listening to it.
We're PG-13, and that, you know, like one F-word slips out, and there's the occasional, like... piece of nudity from an amiibo or something, and that's how we keep our PG-13 rating. But man, Hall of Geeks is kind of R, you know.
Yeah. and also they are pirates, apparently.
Hey, well, you know what? When you do a show, you kind of sometimes you just have to lean into the... You have to find your niche. And I think the podcasting community has yet to accept pirate-themed podcasts about general topics of geekery. So, Rick, you're welcome to use that one if you want.
It's all yours, buddy.
Yeah,
all
yours. For sure. But I mean, if you hit it big, then I get a quarter of all your doubloons.
Doubloons?
Isn't that what pirates spend?
Doubloons.
Doubloons? What'd you say? Doubloons?
Oh my god!
Is it doubloons or is it doubloons?
Doubloons with an N. Doubloons.
Right. Okay.
Doubloons like flower blooms.
Evidently, I need to play more heroes.
Yep. Yeah. So we got together last weekend, Ryan and I and our significant others, and we went out for dinner, and Ryan was talking about Fallout 4. So today I decided that I should, you know, get into it because I was lucky enough to have a fan gift me a copy. So thank you very much for that. So I got into it, and I've got to say I'm underwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
That happens.
Yeah. It's real slow.
Cool. I'm glad you agreed with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm an hour and a half in, so basically like all the big stuff that creates the Fallout has happened, and I've escaped from the place where you start, and now I'm like exploring the town, and I'm just kind of like, okay. So, I don't know, it just, it seems like, yeah, it's just, it's really, really, really slow, really slow.
Yeah.
I just got my pet dog, though, so yay.
Cool. Dog meat, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, it's... dog meat? Was I supposed to kill the dog, not no, train
no, no.
the dog?
His name's Dog Meat.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't do, donut kill the dog.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Well, I kind of wondered, because it's like, you walk up to the gas station, and then it's like, you get this little thing that pops up that says, greet the dog, and then the dog starts running at you, and if video games have taught me anything, it's that that thing wants to rip my throat out, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to actually pull the trigger, I'm just going to see what happens.
And you got to keep in mind, you can kill everybody in that game, I'm pretty sure. Like, if you want to, you can go right into, I think, well, maybe you can't kill companions. That might be the one exception, so...
I feel like probably not, because I'm pretty sure that I can't actually hit him, because there was an incident with a whole bunch of mobs right outside the gas station, and I'm terrible at shooters and aiming and things, so I'm pretty sure I would have killed the dog totally by accident if there was, like, a friendly fire situation going on.
So have you tried VATS yet, the system that is not a third or first-person shooter?
They kind of, like... teach it to you, I guess, when you're escaping.
Sure.
And I found it hard to use. Mostly hard to just remember to use, I guess. I don't know. Like, because basically what happens is, like, you have a whole bunch of mobs and it's like a targeting system, so you can kind of like queue up shots. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, do you queue them up all on one target? I couldn't figure out how to multiple targets.
So you can choose different targets after you've plugged in a couple of shots for one guy, and that's, you use the right stick to change targets and use the left stick to change the body part that you're targeting. And I find that that game is significantly more fun when using VATS and using normal shooting just to clean up. Like, say there's a target in front of you, like, and you just have a shotgun, and it's like, well, I know if I shoot, no matter where I hit him or her, they're gonna die, so I'm just gonna do that. And the game initially is very slow because they're sort of like, they're plopping you in this literal wasteland, and when you have nuclear bombs hit in this wasteland type world, it wipes out life, and then you're kind of left wondering, like, oh, I guess we asked for a Fallout in on the next generation of consoles, and this is what it is. It's a wasteland, and you really just have to lean in and get to that first town when it starts to introduce you to more than one or two characters at a time, which is tough because with Fallout, you hear all these grand stories about how amazing this game is, and then you get in and it's like, oh, well, it's not amazing right away, which is unfortunate.
I am just on the road now to like the first town. So basically, like, I found my house robot and the robot filled me in and... Mm-hmm. at least very, very basically. Again, like, I'm still, and obviously you should be because you've been cryogenically frozen or whatever. So you should be a little bit disoriented. But I don't know if it's because I'm completely new to the Fallout kind of universe or if it's just the game itself. But I feel really like nothing's pulling me in yet. It's very bland. So I'm going to stick with it because I know like everybody, yourself included, are just like, oh my God, can't put it down. So good. But I'm just like, I don't know anything about anything right now. And it's difficult. It's like, I feel like the same is true for a game like Skyrim, except that like there was a dragon attack in Skyrim right at the very beginning. Like that's how you escape from, you know, being incarcerated. And then even like after that, I still had a connection. Like I knew the world and the story and the lore around Skyrim or like just around Elder Scrolls in general. So I was like more invested in the universe, I guess, going into Skyrim.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I can't get attached to Fallout yet. So I'm a little bit worried, but I think, I don't know. Everyone says it's fantastic. So I'm gonna keep trying.
you really just have to like, you have to get to the first city that sets it up as, oh, this is an RPG. These are character moments. Right now, all you're getting is tutorial, like the worst tutorial ever. It's worse than Twilight Princess's tutorial, because at least Twilight Princess's tutorials taught you something, even though it took 16 hours. Like Fallout 4's tutorial levels are very long and very vague. The only thing they actually teach you is, here's how to use our shitty settlement building system. And that thing almost had me throwing my controller. And it's the first major system they introduce you to. It's like, you get to your town, and they're like, well, let's build a town, man. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And you start scrapping things and putting walls up and laying down food sources and water. And it's super frustrating. And you should just move on.
I haven't even done that yet, really. I got to the garage where I met the dog, and I kind of walked in and then highlighted like a workbench or something, and it's like, use the workbench. And I was like, okay. And then that's when it kind of opened up this like huge crafting thing, and it's like, push exit, or like push right trigger, left trigger, and right bumper, left bumper to go between different menus and whatever. And I was kind of like, okay. But it's really overwhelming, and I'm just like, well, what am I supposed to want to build here? Like, is this where I'm going to build my house? Why don't I just use my house that's up the road?
Yeah, you don't have to. What I've found with the settlement system is that if you want, you can get caught up in menus that display positive results, in that eventually you'll unlock a lot of these settlements and it'll basically say like, oh, it doesn't, you know, there's an exclamation point. It needs more water. It needs more food. And you can go to that settlement and you can plant food and you can set up water sources and make the town generally happier, which I'm sure does something related to supply lines, or I don't know. I didn't get into it because it's just it's not as exciting as going around killing super mutants and talking to people and your companions and just general RPG goodness.
I've got to say, I am not a fan of player housing in general in video games. Like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the garrison and the shipyard in Warcraft. Like, I don't like having a base that I have to constantly maintain, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to always have to worry about, like, oh, this thing needs to get done, or I have to click on this thing, or, oh, I have to interrupt what I'm doing, interrupt my adventure to go back and do X, Y, and Z every 4 hours, because that's when the timer resets, you know? Like, I don't like that timed maintenance thing. It feels like a mobile game, you know? I don't like that.
and there is that mobile game if you really want it. It's called Fallout Shelter, and I'm not saying I think it's great that it's in there, because I know there are gamers out there that really enjoy this stuff. And that's the beauty of it, is that Bethesda has made it certainly optional, in that you do that first quest where you set up Sanctuary. And it's frustrating, because when I was trying to do it, it's like, okay, I need to plant 5 food sources. Well, I've only been in the wasteland for 2 hours. How the hell do you think I found 5 watermelons in 2 hours in the freaking wasteland? That's the main issue. We're planting food. There's no food. Like, So, but once you finish that, you can push it to the background. And something I've said before about this game is that you just got to find your fun. It's in there. It's kind of a mess, But when you clean it up a little bit and just like shuffle the settlement system like under the closet and just don't pay attention to it ever again, you can start to have fun. And the thing that I really enjoy is finding storylines and finding characters and just trouncing around the wasteland with some of my favorite companions. And that starts once you get to Diamond City. And so once you see a quest for Diamond City, just narrow in and do that, because there's a lot of fluff. It's a Bethesda game. It's mostly fluff. So you're going to want to focus on some of the cool stuff, which is the main story content. Okay. Once that starts setting up and you start to find out what's going on in the world and where what your place is in it and the choices you can make to impact the Commonwealth, it starts to get more interesting.
And I feel like that is the kind of stuff that would interest me, is like the bigger story stuff, the like what happened, who bombed who, how did the last 200 years play out, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, clearly it's driven by, I'm playing as a female character, so clearly it's driven by her son or her wanting to find her son. But I mean, me, the kind of non-mother objective gamer, I'm looking at it going like, he's probably dead.
Yeah.
That's how time works. You know, 200 years go by. He's probably dead.
You know what the sad part is? And I'm just poking holes at this point. Like, I need to say, like, I really love this game. It's a lot of fun. It's great to get lost in. But there's some real issues. And it goes back to the problem I had with the original Tomb Raider, is that story isn't king. And in an RPG, story should at least be second fiddle. Do those fit? It should still be
important, and it should at least make sense.
Yeah, so your character doesn't even care about his or her son. Only when you talk about your son, and you don't even have to bring up your son. You can literally just go around the wasteland. Like, it's funny you mentioned that you're new to Fallout, and you're sort of learning, and you're looking forward to learning about the lore. Like, your character learns faster than any new gamer would, because they don't give you that information. Like, super mutants are there. You can ask what super mutants are. They give you a vague explanation. Then your character's an expert. And it's like, and you're just like, but wait, you telling me I have to go to the Fallout Wiki to find out what super mutants are? No, you need to go play Fallout 3 and then New Vegas. And it's like, no, that's not a proper solution.
Yeah.
So your character already knows more about the universe than any new player would, which is just unfortunate storytelling, and that it isn't storytelling. It's just no, let's get to the shooty bits, you know.
Yeah, everything really just seems to be big. I guess, like, kind of makes sense, I guess, if everything's been radioactively mutated, whatever. Generally big is probably an outcome, but I was just kind of like, oh, big cockroaches, big rodents, big bees, okie doke.
That's true. Don't get exposed to radioactive waste, folks. It's not good for you.
Tombstone in the chat room also brought up a point saying not all player housing is a quest hub. Like, wow, that's totally true. I completely understand, but I think like my exposure to player housing in general has just basically been like a place to put your items or a place for you to customize. And like, I'm thinking Fable 3, like you could get like furniture, and I just like, it's just, it's fluff. It's just like, it's not something I necessarily enjoy. I want to experience a story, play some mechanics, go start to finish. Like, I don't know. I mean, even in Skyrim, like you could like buy homes in all of the major cities. And the only reason that I ever did that was because there was an achievement to own a home in every major city, you know? Like, so I don't know. I just, it's always extra to me, and not in a good way. It's not something I look forward to doing or customizing.
Yeah, and then there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with people who do enjoy it. I know there are a lot of folks, James in particular, I remember when Fallout came out, he was really enjoying the settlement. He had created this cool, like, the first town you get is Sanctuary, and you can sort of treat that as a quest hub. Like, you could send all your companions there. Like, when you get a new companion, the old one will say like, all right, bye, where do you want me to go? And for the sake of having to use command lines, just tell them to go to Sanctuary and dump all your junk at Sanctuary into the workbench. So then when you do want to build stuff and you want to kick around and get Sanctuary up and running, like, you have all that junk there, that system to build those things. And create your own quest hub there. He had like a whole like second layer tree fort thing. It didn't make a lick of sense physics wise, but it looked really cool. And you can go like upstairs and be like, hey, this is really neat. You've got like 1200 beds up here.
You can like go into James's Fallout world.
No, but he had it on Twitch. I was watching.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I'm like, that would be kind of cool if like I could go into your world and see how you had built your settlements, I guess.
That would be neat. Sort of similar to how WoW's garrison system worked, even though everyone's garrison looked the same.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, kudos to Blizzard. I like that system, and then it didn't stick, but keep going with it. I think you'll eventually dig it, because again, like, if you really liked the way Skyrim was set up, Skyrim had a similar issue. I just feel like for some reason Skyrim was just set up better, I guess. Like you said, it didn't feel slow.
I find just Skyrim in general, or like any games, like I tend to enjoy fantasy more than sci-fi. Not that I don't like sci-fi, because obviously Mass Effect is like one of my favorite ever. Mm-hmm. But just in general, I tend to, I guess, enjoy and relate to fantasy stories a little bit more than sci-fi stories. It's just personal preference. So, I mean, that's probably why I, you know, just dove right into Skyrim and loved it, and Fallout is taking me a little bit longer. Nightvale in the chat room also says, no spoilers, but as a player, you don't know how much time passed between the time you went in and the time your son was taken. And this is true, because you kind of, like, go in, come out, son is taken, go back in again. And so there's 200 years that passes in total from the Fallout event to when the game starts. Mm. And somewhere in there, your son was taken. But I mean, realistically, if you actually, because I don't know, did you actually take the time to go around and read all the stuff in the computers?
Yeah. It was interesting. That game is rich in extra content for you to like read if you want to. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I went through and I read all the logs and everything else, and it kind of seemed that within the first few months was when they had the manual override thing, because there was a log of it on the computer. So
sure.
I feel like whenever that manual override logged event happened, that was when her son was taken, which would have been 200 years previous to her getting out of there.
Yeah. I mean, keep playing.
I'm going to keep playing.
The story gets more interesting when you start to unravel what's actually going on, and sets up a cool dynamic, like sort of a Mexican standoff type situation where you've got three parties. That's the proper term, isn't it? I think. I don't know. Someone Google that for me. And that there are three parties that get involved, and you can sort of play your sides. And it's just really neat. And I just love that universe. It's got its storylines that are super quirky, that are really fun, and you can sort of just stumble across them. Like, there's this one quest where this guy's selling swatters, and they're baseball bats, and because you're from pre-war, you clearly know what the sport of baseball is, and then you try to explain it to him, where he thinks it's like, oh yeah, whoever killed the most people with the swatter won, and you know, you'd like take your fallen enemy's heads home as trophy. It's like, no, you basically hit a ball and you tried to run bases, like that sound. And then the guy says, that sounds boring, I like my version better. So they play around with that, and it's those little moments, and two companions that you'll come across that are clearly like the most well designed. You do really spend a lot of time with them, and it gets fun. It gets a lot of fun.
It seems like everyone seems really excited about it. But the other thing I've been playing is Tomb Raider. So I finished Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I finished that a few days ago. It was pretty good. It was, in the end, quite a predictable story, but that doesn't mean it was a bad story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love the mechanics in that game. And I think I'm probably somewhere in and around 80% done in terms of like my main story is completely done, but I have to go back and get all the collectible things. And I still have not been able to shoot the chicken with the fire arrow.
It's tough.
It's really hard.
Yeah. It's almost like, why am I doing this? I eventually did get it, but at the end, I didn't feel any better about myself. So
Does anything like super cool and worthwhile happen when you hit the chicken with the fire arrow? Does it like turn into like a cooked chicken or something?
It lights on fire. Oh. And you get an achievement. That's about it.
Oh,
you just damn. Go on with your life. It's like, you know, Lara sort of like shrugs her like, whatever. Like, it doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't spend too long on it. Like only like 15 minutes, maybe. I don't know.
I think I tried it like 3 or 4 times and went, this isn't fun.
Yeah, it stops being fun after the first. Although it's funny when you do it around like in the town with people around because they're like, stop wasting ammunition. And killing our chickens. Like, what are you doing? Oh, no, they didn't say killing. Like, I said to myself out loud, it's like, man, they're really concerned with me wasting fire arrows that I can make out of twigs and berries around here. But chickens. Again, wasteland theory. Like, you'd think chickens would be, like a really hot commodity. Possession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Tomb Raider's done. It was really, really good. I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish stuff because, man, I have definitely missed the, like, lounging on the couch gaming. Like I was pretty much just sitting on the couch playing Tomb Raider for a few hours every night after everyone else went to bed, and it was just so nice to just like sit there and chill and game on a console on a couch. Like, oh, so good. I've missed it. So
yeah.
I'll have to see. I might do Call of Duty next.
Cool.
Yeah. Although I did start Fallout, but Fallout's on the PC, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like I've been playing a lot of PC games, and it is nice to sit down and play a nice console game every once in a while. Oh man, I miss the couch. I miss it so much.
So what else have you been playing other than Fallout 4?
I've been typing furiously in Her Story, and by typing I mean I beat it. I beat I don't know, can you beat Her Story? It's basically you don't know who you are. You are presented with a old, like 80s looking computer screen, maybe early 90s, I guess, like Windows 3.1 or something. And it's a database of interviews that were taken with a woman for the not that she's being accused, but she is being interviewed about the disappearance and eventual murder of her husband, Simon. And you basically sit down and a document pops up and says, hey, you know, I cobbled together all the interview data. It's on an old drive and the detective's perspective was lost in a fire. So you literally just have these like 30 second to minute and a half segments of answers from this woman. And you sort of have to piece together what the question could have been to find out more. And the whole objective of the game is to be satisfied.
Ryan and I talked about this when I was there over dinner over the last weekend, and I don't know. I feel like this is one of those thinking outside of the box, won a lot of awards, like different kind of a video game, but I don't know. I feel like I want to solve the crime and catch the bad guy and, you know, like I don't know, just to be satisfied.
Yeah,
like,
but
I feel like it's not enough of a conclusion for me.
Well, that's the issue, and that's the problem with saying the game ends when you feel you are satisfied. Like that's the clear way of explaining the ending without spoiling it,
right?
Because when you do beat it, you will feel satisfied, and and you will understand why when you start to realize what the game tells you when you finish the game, quote unquote, because basically what happens is discover
when you say finish the game, quote unquote. I
don't want to spoil
have quotes
it.
Around finishing a game. Like I need to finish.
Finishing the game is basically discovering because when you use the system, you search a query. It starts with murder. That brings up five videos, and the five videos. You're limited to five videos, so if you search the, it's going to come up with a bunch of videos because it comes up with every video clip that mentions the word the. And you're limited to the first five, so you can't just say, oh, well, I'll type in the and watch all 160 of 300 videos and be done. That would be cheating. and kind of defeat the purpose of the game. When you search murder, it comes up with four videos. It comes up with a video near the beginning, the very end of all the interviews, and some pieces in the middle, and you watch those and you start to think, okay, she mentioned this name, she mentioned this object, she mentioned this place. I'm going to try those search queries. And then you type those in and you get more video results. And then you start to piece together this story of what happened to this woman and a couple other characters and your husband, and what's happening to him. And in your mind, you're starting to piece together this story, and visually you can see this, what they call a database checker, which shows all the, it shows a grid of red, and all the videos that have turned green are the ones you've watched. So you can visually see all the data in the game that you have accessed. And I guess
that part kind of makes me think, like, okay, mm-hmm. that I can get behind. If I can sit down and say, like, okay, I have, you know, 10 videos left to find, and trying to find all the videos, as long as there's, like, some way for me to know, like, how far into the game I am, like, how much have I completed, what's left.
Yeah, like, then, you can get 100%, and yay, good for you. I got 100% by finishing the game, figuring out the story, and then I'm like, oh, I'm still missing some videos. So some of those videos were just, they did not apply to me knowing the truth. I didn't really need to know those videos, because some of them were one-word answers, like yes or no. And they don't pop up in a normal search unless you search for yes or no using quotations, because it's the only word in the entire video. So it's little things like that. You don't necessarily need to see every video to... But seeing every video could be a metric of saying, I've beaten the game by getting 100%.
Yes, sure, that's what I need.
But if that's what you need, but really, you don't need to see all the videos to figure out the story. There is a clear, well, I shouldn't say that. There isn't a clear story, but there is. It's one of those, like, real murder type situations where, like, you don't quite know what 100% what it is, but you never do, because it's not a TV show.
Right.
You
know?
That's where this is more realistic. This isn't CSI. This is a very, I hesitate to say grounded, but it's more like a normal crime would go down, in that the police don't have all the information, and their witnesses are, you know, not always the greatest.
Not the best. Yeah,
exactly. And interview techniques are really weird, and sometimes don't reveal the information that you were hoping for, or reveal information that's not even remotely connected to the case. Which in this, you will watch videos that explain some of the character but have nothing to do with the crime.
Yeah.
So in that case, it's very interesting. It's a cool experience, but I don't know if everybody has to go out there and play it. Like, the unfortunate part is that if you wanted to not experience it but experience the story, you could go out and probably read about it, and there's probably tons of articles. It's like any other true crime series. You don't need to watch Making a Murderer on Netflix. You can just go Google Stephen Avery and find out all about it, and you're like, oh, I've experienced that documentary, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It's not like other games where it's like, well, I can Google the story to Fallout 4, but that doesn't mean I'm going to experience VATS and all the crazy combat situations. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend, like, I think it's $5. Like, it's just a really
neat really I didn't thing. Realize it was yeah it was that cheap.
Yeah, it's appropriately priced at an inexpensive, like, $5, which most of these indie games that come out, like Gone Home was like 20, mm-hmm. which was a tough one to swallow for a lot of folks, and I totally understand that. But her story being $5 is just an easy, I'm going to experience something new playing video games today, and her story is one of those experiences which I always look for, because it's all too often that we're playing Fallout 4 or Tomb Raider or something. It's just nice to have something different, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I think I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, just a good story, I guess, because we are watching that Making a Murderer documentary right
Everybody
now,
is.
So I'm in a true crimey kind of a way. Not that this is true crime, but...
It's video games' answer to true crime.
Yeah.
I think is the best way to put it. And
true fake crime?
Yeah. The story that it tells is really interesting, and... By the time you finish the game, you've kind of got this bird's eye view of what's happening, and it turns that interesting story even more interesting, and adding just different layers of things. I don't know. I don't want to talk it up too much, which I probably already have, because that's what I do. It's just really cool. It's really interesting, and similar to Gone Home, if you're looking to try something new with video games, her story is that game. And I know a lot of people are like, well, this game came out a long time ago. It's like, well, I just got around to playing it, and there are a lot of games like that out there. So her story is definitely not the first or last in a series like this, but
mm-hmm.
it's totally worth checking out.
Cool. And have you been playing anything else other than Fallout and Her Story?
You know, it's funny. I have a kid coming soon.
I thought you were going to say I have a kid. I'm like, Ryan, we went over this at the top of the show.
Wait, let me check my phone. We're still good. So still I figured, okay. I figured, why not buy another open world 200 hour game? You know, let's do
Get
that.
Get him out of the way now.
Get him out of the way now. I picked up Metal Gear Solid 5 because it was on sale. I found it at a reasonable price. And I was like, you know what? It's now or never. Let's give this a shot. And that game's really, really cool. I'm not very far. I don't usually like stealth games, but the way Metal Gear Solid 5 has set up that world in terms of stealth, it feels like it's easier to be stealthy. And when you aren't stealthy, it's easier to get out of a situation because it's not a corridor system anymore. It's an open world. Mm. And it's based in Afghanistan. So there's a lot of these like cement houses and barricades set up, and set in the 80s as well. So it's very open, desert land. And when you come up to an outpost where enemies are, you can tag them and sort of look at them and then try to sneak in. And if you don't sneak in successfully, you can literally just kind of run away. You know, it works in my favor as a person who is not very stealthy and not very patient at all. So I'm very early in that and still sort of trying to get my mind around it. It's very Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. Like the first scene, literally, the first scene you're in a hospital, and the first scene you're treated to, and I shouldn't have used that word, is a nurse in a low cut shirt, well endowed, like bending over you, and your character literally just like you know that cartoon where the fox's eyes pop out?
Yep.
It's kind of like that. And I was just like, really, this is what we're doing? And yep, it's very Japanese.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. And I know a lot of people, this game came out in September, so it's like, ho, just you wait, Ryan. There's this little character called Quiet who sneaks around in a bikini and snipes people. It's like, yeah, well, it's very Japanese. So we'll get there eventually. We'll see.
Hopefully before Baby Murphy shows up.
Yeah. I mean, how old do they have to be before that stuff starts like affecting them? I should probably look that up.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you got a few years.
I think so.
Knowing nothing about children. Some years, don't worry.
I think it's a few years. I think it's at least two.
Yeah.
The last thing you want them to do is to base their life choices off of Metal Gear Solid 5 and Hideo Kojima.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So before we get into our topic of the week this week, just wanted to remind everybody that if you want to show off your TGI pride, you should head over to bit.ly/amovestore, where you can get all kinds of cool Amove stuff on glasses and vinyl decals, whatever. So you can pick up anything from Angry Chicken to ITN or TGI. We have glasses. We have pint glasses. There are... the stemless wine glasses, which actually I have the Gamers Inn stemless wine glass, and I keep forgetting to talk about the wine glasses too. But they're really, really cool. So that is bit.ly/amovestore. So our topic of the week this week, actually, we're going to talk about very, very quickly EA Access, which has come to PC. Mm-hmm. So EA Access is the Xbox version, I believe.
Yes.
And then so... Origin Access is going to be what they're calling the PC version, but it's essentially the same. It's $5 a month and you get access to a catalog of games, basically. It's like the Netflix for video games.
Yeah. It's it's interesting. And when EA Access was announced, I was kind of jealous because it was announced shortly before Dragon Age Inquisition came out. It meant you could play a game 10 days before release, or is it 6 days before release?
It says early access, so I imagine it probably varies game to game.
Yeah, so it's a certain amount of time before the game is actually out, and you can play up to 10 hours, I think is what it was. And that to me was intriguing, because I get to play a game so many days early for 10 hours. Like, I can barely get a couple hours in the first week, so this is perfect. And it's neat, and you get access to a backlog of games, and not being a sports fan, but still enjoying the occasional sports game, it's also kind of neat in that sense, because it gives you basically like all of last year's sports games, which is a neat feature, especially when EA has sort of cornered the market on sports games. They kind of have everything.
Yeah, they're, well, they have all the big name brand stuff, right? So they have the NFL, the NHL, you know, all the big stuff comes out of EA. It's not to say that's the only football game or the only basketball game, but realistically, EA Sports is in the game.
Nailed it. You almost did it without like anyone batting an eyelash. You should have just winked at the camera. We move on. Do they even say that? It's been a long time since I played an EA Sports game.
I don't know.
Game.
The last one I played was like NHL 90 something. So yeah. And that's all I remember is like the sound of somebody doing like a hockey stop on the ice. It was like, whoosh, it's in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it Wayne Gretzky? Like, is that how old it was?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, there's some interesting titles. There are 15, launching with 15 games, which is really neat. I don't know how many are in the Xbox One vault, but to me, Battlefield 4 and Hardline being in the vault is kind of interesting. SimCity, did they ever fix that game? I can't remember if they fixed
it. I don't know. I never went back to it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Which makes me so sad.
Yeah. Man, that's unfortunate. You can play the entire Dead Space franchise. Dead Space is fantastic. So if you haven't played Dead Space before, like, try a month of this. Like, you should certainly.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting to see, because they said it's not only EA games that are going to be available. So once they have kind of a larger library to pull from, then I think that this might be something that I check out. Because they do say it's full game downloads, right?
Yeah. So, you can play the full game.
I mean, because, yeah, there's Dragon Age Inquisition, I think, is actually on the list, too. And so it could be cool. I think it's a good way to try out a whole bunch of different titles without committing a large amount of your dollars to them. I know I'm so bad at literally putting 2 or 3 hours into games that I've spent, like, $60 to $80 on and then not going back to them. So this might be a better alternative for me instead of buying a whole bunch of AAA titles is just trying a whole bunch of AAA titles.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they're adding older games. Cause you kind of look at this vault thing. It's like, okay, when do they add the most recent Need for Speed, you know, Need for Speed that came out, which is, I played a little bit at my brother's and I did not enjoy it. So this is a bad example, but, you know, that's the common question. Like, how long does it take? And Dragon Age Inquisition came out a year ago, and it's already in the vault, minus its DLC. But Hardline as well just came out, I think, early 2015, and it's in there. So it seems like they're adding them pretty quick, and that's exciting. Although I don't think EA's really had a big title since Inquisition that I've really been interested in. But this is always a cool way to experience new content that we haven't had a chance to try before. And the early access and 10% off all EA games is also interesting. If you are interested in buying from the Origin store, right? There are a lot of options on the PC, and that's the difference between the PC and the Xbox One, and that there aren't many options for buying digital Xbox One games, but on your PC, you've got, you know, Green Man Gaming, you got a lot of other options to legitimately get your hands on games. And so this is actually, I'm surprised they haven't launched it earlier on that note, because it gives people an edge to buy games directly from EA. And it says here that they've added their first third-party title with This War of Mine, which is a really cool title, actually, if you haven't checked that out. But I don't know, I think I'll wait until they add, like, the game that I have not played yet that I absolutely have to play.
Yeah, that you somehow also don't own, which, because I know we both have the same problem of, ooh, Steam sales.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is I might actually subscribe to EA Access to get early access and 10% off of Mass Effect Andromeda, you know? Like, theoretically thinking about it.
That's true.
Early access to that game would be fantastic. You know, I'll pay $5 for early access. I have no problem saying that. Oh, God. EA, if you're... Well, EA already knows that I'll do that, so... Yeah. Everybody else, strike that from the record. Inadmissible. You know, I really, really don't want to have to pay $5 a month to get early access to all my favorite games. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. I will totally play Andromeda early. That's it, though.
That's all?
Okay, we're trying to backpedal here. You're not helping.
When do I ever help Ryan? Come on.
We really don't want to give Activision and all the other fine folks a bad idea. I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea. I can't make up my mind anymore. I'm done. It's interesting. So we'll see how what comes next.
On that note, help Ryan and I make up our minds for what we want to play tomorrow night, because we have game night, which is very exciting. It's every Thursday at 8 p.m. and it is completely directed by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/thegamersin. So if you guys are patrons, go check it out. The post is up. You can let us know what you want to play with us tomorrow night. So that is, again, 8 p.m. That is streamed over on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/JossPlays. And we also have our hangout next Thursday at 7 p.m., assuming that Ryan doesn't get pulled away from that, because that is Ash's due date. So yeah. Exciting times.
We'll see.
I don't know. I can't decide if I hope you're here because I want to do game night with you, or I hope you're not here because that means that you have a baby and that's exciting.
It will be exciting. I'm actually really just, I'm not even carrying the baby. I'm like, come on, let's just get it over with. Like, it's sick of waiting.
So much anticipation.
I know. We got so much stuff that's not being used. And whenever I try to use it, I get yelled at. It's like, don't play with the mobile. Okay, fine.
So on that note, just a reminder to check out amovetv/calendar in case we have any scheduling changes based on Ryan's new crazy baby-driven life. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amovetv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're playing, you can do that at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Maybe, unless Ryan has a baby.
We will let you all know.